Well, good afternoon, everyone, here at the hall, and if you're watching on the internet, glad to have you here. The Epistle to the Hebrews is one of my favorite books of the New Testament. It gives me encouragement. Hebrews was written sometime in the late 60s AD, but before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the AD. And while the author is not mentioned, and there's some debate on actually who wrote Hebrews, it's generally believed that the Apostle Paul wrote it. Now, this was a time that Christians were under attack from their world and from the Jews. Some were becoming discouraged and were drifting away from their commitment to Christ and His church. Some of the early Christians were reverting back to Judaism. And one such sign of them drifting apart was the decline and how often they assembled together, brethren in the faith. So let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 10:25, and we will read about that. But before we get to verse 25, let's go back and we will read this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for who promised is faithful. Now drop down to verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. The struggles and trials of the early Christians are the same trials that you and I experience today in the church. So today, let's take a closer look at this admonition to assemble. I have titled this sermonette, The Assembling of Ourselves. I generally use the New King James Version. I'm just curious, by a show of hands, how many use the NIV version? Okay, there's a few out there. I have the NIV version. The NIV version says of Hebrews 10:25, let it, as some are in the habit of doing. So when we cease not assembling on a regular basis, like we are doing here today, we see a pattern of behavior, a habit, that should raise some red flags. I am of the conviction that it does make a difference, that we do assemble on a regular basis, for it makes a difference in the spiritual life of each Christian, and in the difference of the spiritual life of this congregation. Now, before I go on and explain why, we have to understand that there are legitimate reasons why we cannot assemble every time. Now, a parent may need to stay home to take care of a sick child. Sometimes our own illness prevents us from coming here. In the Old Testament is very about quarantine laws in regards to illness and not to spread that illness to others. They have extreme anxiety issues about being in large groups. Some of God's people have physical impairments that prevent them attending a fellowship on a regular basis. Now, also, there are many brethren who are scattered throughout this country through many from great distances from that prevents them from associating with others on a frequent basis. Exceptions, legitimate exceptions. What we are looking here today are those saints of God who are healthy and have the means to attend people, but choose not to on a regular basis. So let's go back now and read Hebrews verse 24, and we'll go through verse 25, and we will see the benefits of assembling and an instruction on what we should do when we assemble together. So in Hebrews 10:24, we read, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work. So how do we do not stir up love and good work? Verse 25 gives us the answer. Not forsaking the assembling together manner of some. And now we're given instruction on what we should be doing when we assemble together. But exhorting, that means encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What we have just read and are being strongly cautioned against is an attitude in our heart, where one begins a habit of avoiding and assembling and associating with other saints of God. This is much more than missing Sabbath services. This is really abandoning and forsaking the family of God. Now, we have a responsibility to build up each member of the family of God. Romans, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Now, our presence when we assemble here together encourages others that are here. Can we really say that we are edifying others when we are absent most of the time? If we attend the assembling infrequently, do we really know the other members? So what are our priorities in life? Life, and we all wear many hats, like husband, wife, parent, worker, driver for the kids' soccer team. Jesus commanded us to put the kingdom of God first. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Now, some people will stay home on the Sabbath because of aches and pains, but guess what? They go to work on Monday, to the gym, or even shopping with those same pains and aches. What I'm asking today is that you look into the heart of hearts. That is your own heart. Nobody else's heart. To see the real attitude that is in your heart. We need to repent of that attitude if we are neglecting to associate with the family of God. The truth is that we come together as regularly as we should is all about strengthening the family of God. I like reading about the presidents of the United States. You know, the Bible says that he gives power and authority to leaders where he places them. And you can see the hand of God in many of the presidents. Ask little David Holliday. Well, he's not here today. He's quite sharp on the presidents. I can't think but help with example of President James A., who took the office on March 4th, 1881. On that first Sunday after the inauguration, of a member of the cabinet insisted that a meeting be called to discuss a matter of national crisis. On ground, the cabinet member insisted that the matter was important and that the president should break his engagement to do so. The cabinet member remarked, quote, I would be interested in having an engagement. So important. Quote, I will be as frank as you are. My engagement is with the Lord, to meet him at his house, at his table, at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I shall be there. Now, while Mr. Garfield worshiped God on Sunday, the day of the Sabbath that we do, I believe that his attitude should be the same as ours. Why would we want to be anywhere else on the Sabbath than among with God and his people? I would like everyone to turn to in their Bibles to John. And for the sake of time here, I'm going to just give you a little preview of what this says. Basically, the scriptures before that, Jesus was talking to his disciples and others about he was the bread of life. He had concepts about his body and his blood that many could not understand. Now, I won't go into that because we go into that every time during the Passover season. Let's go down to John 6, 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have life." When we come here to assemble and worship God together, we are fed and we grow by the words of God that does prepare us for eternal life. Not only we are nurtured, but we nurture others here in this congregation. Now, assembling on the Sabbath is only God's instruction of not forsaking the assembly of others together. Imagine if you grew up in your own family and you saw your parents, sister or brother, only once a week. People, let me ask you, what kind of relationship are you going to have in your own family? Would it be a close, unified family? Assembling of ourselves is a process. God has given us other opportunities to assemble, encourage, and love others in the family of God. Our preteens and teens have just come back from Camp Davidson in Oregon. And you can see the gleam in their eyes of the fun and opportunities that they experienced while at camp. They had an opportunity to develop friendships with others that will last a lifetime. We live in difficult times, and as parents, we see the evil in this world, and we are worried and concerned about our children. It is reassuring that we can send our children to camp to build on that foundation that will last for all times, that is Jesus Christ, and in that is strength. For you, if you are in financial difficulties, well, seek the ministry about sending your children to camp. There are many generous giving members in this congregation that will be glad to help you out. There are also many Bible studies in the local congregations for the brothers at the South End. We have the Seattle, Bothell, and North End Bible studies to stir up love and good works and be encouraged by others. Last night I had the opportunity to attend the North End Bible study up in Arlington. And to tell you the truth, driving up there was not easy. It was an hour and a half to go up there. And fortunately for me, we had some other riders in the car. Louise. And it made it for enjoyable time because we fellowshiped together. We assembled together. Once arriving there, I was amazed by the spirit that was there, the encouragement. And to tell you the truth, it was like a mini feast. We have other opportunities in this congregation to stir up love and good works. We have the singles and seniors, area potlucks, women's weekend, the family fellowship club, church socials, the church picnic's coming up here real soon. That helps keep this commandment. So that day, we'll be prepared as a family. You know, I'm excited about people when they get together. The feast in Australia. The Australians generally live, I think 90% of the people live in nine cities and their communities. And when you meet a brethren who lives out in the dingleberries, as they say in Australia, the bush, you know, they come to services, they are on fire because they don't have the rest of the year to associate with others. In the assembling, they are excited and they make for the feast. I experienced it last year too at the feast in Costa Rica when members of El Salvador, 120 of them came down by bus, two buses, took them 20 hours through windy roads of mountainous areas. El Salvador is a poor church financially. Spiritually, they're very rich. They came to that feast with excitement. And they were on fire. There was nothing you could do to put that fire out. And you could tell the Spirit of God was there. So, we're also reminded to prepare as that day approaches. We see the times that we're living in. The scriptures talk about those final days when wrath upon earth, it will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ. Brethren, it is now time to stay united as one body. A divided house cannot stand, but one united will endure. So let us all not forsake the assembling of ourselves together.